everyone, and welcome to episode 21 of The Punt. This should be a good one. I'm really looking forward to the TV games, and Number Crunchers with Sam Norris features bets in the 5 top flight matches at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Mesut Ozil being in the news is like a red rag to a bull for Derek, and he just about manages to squeeze a bit into his piece as well. DK, Alex, are you ready and raring to go? We start with the lunchtime kickoff at Goodison.
Definitely ready and raring to go, Emma. We've got Goodison first, Everton taking on Arsenal. Looking forward to this one, Alex Dunn. Welcome along.
Regards of the festive season to you,
David. Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Loads of really good football. And between now and New Year, there's basically just football every day.
There is. It's all good.
It's lovely.
Everton are 27-20 to win this game. The draw is 27-10. Arsenal in the betting at 9-5. God knows who's going to be in each dugout for this game. At time of recording, we've got Everton managed by Duncan Ferguson, Arsenal managed by Freddie Ljungberg. That could all change. And Duncan Ferguson, he's sort of lifted the cloud from Goodison. I've seen a lot of Everton fans tweeting about his impact and influence. They went out of the EFL Cup midweek, but produced a resilient performance, a comeback in that game to take Leicester to penalties. And Arsenal just don't keep clean sheets. 14 straight games where they've conceded the Gunners. I'm looking at this game. I actually quite fancy Everton.
We'll start with Arsenal.
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't score against Man City, stats-wise, in terms of everything about that game suggested Man City would concede. Everything about it suggested Arsenal would score. 3-0 was a bit of a... I mean, betting-wise, everything was right apart from that, if you like. We put up City and both teams score. I actually backed it as well. And you know, when you're just thinking, oh, come on. City, you've done the hard bit. Just let one in now.
Yeah.
But it wasn't to be. Arsenal have had a rare midweek off as well, which doesn't happen often for them. Everton, of course, as you said, in action in the Cup. Now, under Ferguson, Everton have had difficult games. And they're unbeaten, really. I mean, they didn't lose to Leicester. They did on penalties eventually. But a draw against Leicester, a draw at Old Trafford, and a home win against Chelsea, that's pretty good by anyone's standard. So I still thought Arsenal would be favourites here, not because I think that they should be, but because we sit here week after week and go, why are Arsenal so short away from home? They were, what, hovering around the even money mark against West Ham. I know they went on to win that game a couple of weeks back, but that was an alarming price. I'm surprised to see them as the outsiders here, personally.
Okay.
Not saying for a second that they should be favourites, that I'd make them favourites, but I'm surprised that we as a company, as bookmakers, haven't priced them up as that. So that does make it a little bit difficult here because you sort of, I've got a bit of a conflict now. Do I go with what I perceive to be value compared to the norm or what I actually think will happen? I think Everton will win as well, ultimately. Yeah. Because Arsenal away from home are almost unbackable.
Just a quick word about Duncan Ferguson's handling of Moise Keane last week because he came on in the 70th minute, then he was taken off in the 89th minute. He was heavily criticised for that. Do you think if that had been Jurgen Klopp, Pep Guardiola, Alex Ferguson back in the day, and he'd have made that decision, would we be talking about a strong manager making the tough choices? But with it being Duncan Ferguson coming in his second game in charge or whatever, we're criticising him, or the media are anyway.
Maybe, but I don't think any of the managers that you mentioned there would do that. That's the thing. They're good managers and they don't make sort of snap judgments.
Okay.
It was an odd one. I felt really sorry for Keane, who hasn't had a good time since he came to Everton. That's not a reason for not doing what Ferguson did, I suppose. But, hey, look, if it was you or I out there and we'd lasted 19 minutes, we'd probably be knackered. So I think having a manager like that would be quite sympathetic to our physical condition.
This is pretty simple for me. I'm going with Everton to win and both teams to score. Arsenal, no good at the moment. They are a mid-table team. Everton rejuvenated recently. I fancy Everton to win this game and both teams to score.
In recent weeks, the Man City game aside, it's been a both teams to score fest in Arsenal games. In recent Everton games, both teams have scored as well. So there's your starting point. I think over 2.5 will land. I think over 3.5 could land as well. I looked at Richarlison in this game, but he's a little bit too short. Though I do think he'll score. As a betting proposition on his own, he's a bit too short. So you could factor all of those in. But ultimately, I think Everton will come out on top as well. So Everton and both teams to score is the pick in what I hope will be a really entertaining game.
Me too. Everton and both teams to score for Alex. Now, Derek's gone rogue, obviously, with Mesut Ozil in the news. He's bound to feature heavily in this piece. And he's already decided to make changes at Everton and at Arsenal. He's appointed Ancelotti and he's appointed Arteta. Whether or not by the time you're watching this, those two are in charge remains to be seen. But here's Derek's bit this week.
You got to laugh at Chinese authorities cancelling live TV coverage of Arsenal's match with Man City on Sunday because of comments made by Mesut Ozil. Surely if you want to punish Arsenal, you should show their games on telly. Ozil makes far more impact on social media than he ever does on a pitch. I liken him to my clock. Like Ozil, that goes back 7 months after it's gone forward. Arsenal fans had a message for their Chinese counterparts who didn't get to see Ozil perform on the pitch. Welcome to our world. Arsenal's visit to Everton on Saturday will likely see two new managers in the dugout. For Arsenal, Mikel Arteta, and for Everton, Carlo Ancelotti. It was a surprise to many to learn that Arteta had played for Everton. It was a surprise to even more to learn that Ancelotti had heard of them. Ancelotti is a man with vast Champions League experience, and that's fantastic news for the Everton players. He can identify which teams are playing when they're watching it on telly. He has a reputation for arriving at clubs and recognising instantly what is not needed. At Milan, he got rid of Andriy Shevchenko. At Bayern Munich, he got rid of Mesut Ozil. And at Everton, he'll get rid of the trophy room. For Liverpool fans, he's the gift that keeps on giving. He was in charge of Milan when Liverpool staged the miracle of Istanbul. And when at Chelsea, he was responsible for an even bigger Liverpool miracle, getting 50 million smackers for Fernando Torres. Their appointments make the lunchtime clash even more difficult to predict, so it's very lucky you've got me here. Everton will win. Get on at 13-10. Newcastle manager Steve Bruce fears that come next month, his nose will once again be pressed up against the transfer window. Or at least it will look like that. Money is thin on the ground at Newcastle, unlike Bruce, and there are one or two shrewdies licking their lips at odds of 6-1 for Toon to go down. Whatever you think of Newcastle, and I try not to, they shouldn't be as short as 7-5 to beat Crystal Palace, who've won more away games this season than Tottenham and Man United. People say Palace rely too heavily on Wilfried Zaha, but come on, he's only one team. I'm always prepared to back Palace away, even with that clown of a manager they've got, and at 11-5, they've got the title they've been desperate for years. McGovern's nap.
Love that bit from Derek. He's going with Crystal Palace to win as his big bet this weekend, or main bet, fancy, whatever.
Can you imagine, by the way, if Duncan Ferguson was in charge at Arsenal and he's taking players off left, right and centre after he's brought them on? He wouldn't have a team by half-time, would he? Mesut Ozil would last about 3 minutes.
Yeah, not tracking back.
David Luiz would be off. I mean, yeah. He'd be very, very light on numbers by half-time.
What do you make to Derek's bet very quickly?
Palace?
Yeah, obviously at your club, Newcastle.
The Palace was so bad on Monday. I have to apologise, actually. I put them up as a nap.
Yeah.
Again, backed them. Hasn't been the best punting weekend for me, if I'm brutally honest. They were shocking. Brighton keep the ball. They move it nicely. But Palace look so laboured. So they're probably set to go to St James's and win. Newcastle injury hit as well.
Yeah.
They weren't great against Burnley. It's a game I wouldn't be surprised if Palace did win at the same time. It's a difficult game.
All three results
I wouldn't
possible.
Be napping in it.
Yeah.
But basically, you've got Zaha against a few players who could show something for Newcastle. It's just two shows more. Zaha's the best player on the pitch, though, by a mile.
OK, let's have a look at this one. This is a cracker. Man City versus Leicester at the Etihad. 5:30 kick-off on Saturday. Manchester City, 4-11 to win the game. The draw, 17-4. Leicester City in the betting at 7-1. Now, last weekend, I was all ready to have Liverpool to win the league, Leicester City to finish second in the league in that straight forecast you can do on the William Hill website and on the app. I like the price still at 5-1, but Leicester did drop points last weekend against Norwich. And Manchester City produced one of those wonderful performances against Arsenal where they look in just outstanding form all of a sudden. But I'm still tempted by that 5-1 on Leicester to finish second to Liverpool in the league. I think that's a big old price.
It's a great bet. We didn't mention it live, did we?
No.
We talked about it off air a couple of weeks back. I think it was 9-2 then. It's a really nice price, 5-1.
I think it's too big. Much too big.
No, I really do like it. As for this game, it's priced up ridiculously because You can't really want to back Man City at 4-11.
Especially when Leicester have won their last four away games by an aggregate score of 17-1. Yeah. If Leicester score first in matches as well, they tend to go on and win. I think they've got a 100% record when scoring first in the league this season, which is Very impressive. And we still know that Manchester City are vulnerable defensively. We've seen that throughout the season. I know Arsenal didn't score against them.
Yeah.
But Leicester will get opportunities in this match.
I'd be very surprised if Leicester didn't score in the game, for starters.
Yeah, definitely.
So then straight away you need City to score twice. And the way that Leicester are playing, that won't be easy, because Leicester defensively have looked pretty good. Midfield has been pretty good and up front's been very good. It's so hard to get away from something pro-Leicester, the way that the market is shaped up here. City just don't convince, really. Mm. They defensively is the main issue, obviously. Going forward, they do convince. Although Gabriel Jesus at home doesn't score many.
No.
On the road, he does.
Yep.
That will change before long, though. Everything about this game said it's got to be something pro-Leicester, just the way that it's priced. They've played so well this season, Leicester. Yes, they slipped up against Norwich, but it's only a draw. It's not that bad, really. They've only lost this season, Leicester, at Old Trafford and at Anfield.
Yeah.
Granted, this game would fit under that sort of remit, that category of a game that they may have expected to lose at the start of the season. But they're a big, big price here.
This is fascinating. I'm looking forward to this game. One man we've got to speak about is Kevin De Bruyne. He was absolutely scintillating last weekend, scored a couple. I fancy him to get on the score sheet in this match, but Manchester City do look short in the betting.
They're very, very short. De Bruyne is a fantastic footballer. Man City are blessed with several fantastic footballers. Unfortunately, at the minute, none of them are playing at the back, which will open the door for Leicester here. I can see Jamie Vardy not quite running riot, but causing problems. City will play high up the pitch. He'll be turning in behind. That will cause no end of problems. Leicester are huge here. They are an absolutely whopping price. You could play them a little safe. You could back Leicester or the draw,
yep.
Leicester plus one, maybe even Leicester plus two. But I'm going all out there. I'm going for the Christmas treats. Leicester to win, cause the upset at a huge price.
Leicester to win at the Etihad for Alex in that one. We've talked about the two live games on Saturday, televised. Loads of football coming up in the Premier League on Saturday. Let's get Number Cruncher with Sam Norris.
With five Premier League games kicking off at 3 o'clock, we have a feast of football for you to enjoy, so let's get stuck in. Villa Southampton go head-to-head, knowing that whoever loses will end the day in the relegation zone, and with both sides having trouble keeping clean sheets, it could be bad defending rather than prolific attacking that fuels the goals in this one. The Saints haven't kept a clean sheet in any of their last 12 Premier League games, whilst Villa have faced more shots than any other side in the league this season. It could be a both teams to score banker if defences continue to wobble. Bournemouth host Burnley, who have had trouble on the road with just one win in their last 10 away from home in the Premier League, leaving Sean Dyche's side languishing in mid-table. Ironically, it's the home form for the Cherries that has caused Eddie Howe the most concern, losing to Manchester City and Crystal Palace in their last two games at the Vitality. With both sides searching for consistency, it's worth noting that Burnley have a striker in Chris Wood, who has more goals than any other claret this season and loves playing against Bournemouth, having scored in his last four top-flight matches against the Cherries. Brighton take on surprise package Sheffield United, knowing that the Blades are high on confidence following wins against Aston Villa and Norwich. United are unbeaten in all of their away games this season, but have conceded in each of their last four. That might be where Neil Mopé comes into his own. The French forward has scored in each of his last three games and has already notched seven times so far this season. Sheffield United aren't going to give away their unbeaten run easily, however. No side have drawn more games than the South Yorkshire side, and with Albion drawing their last two as well, it could be another stalemate on the South Coast. Next up, it's Newcastle Palace, and Steve Bruce's side boast the best recent form, going seven games unbeaten at St James's Park in the league. Crystal Palace matches haven't exactly been exciting affairs this season. Just 34 goals have come in games involving Roy Hodgson's side, with the last five meetings between these two sides producing just five goals. Neither side are particularly free scoring, and it could be another 1-0, with each of the last three meetings being decided by just a solitary goal. Go against a goal fest here. Under 2.5 goals is the suggestion. And finally, Wolves are hunting down a spot in the top six and could potentially end the day in fifth place with a win at lowly Norwich. They've lost just once away in the league this season and only failed to score once in all competitions, both domestically and in Europe. With Diogo Jota in fine form, having notched five times in his last three appearances, it's easy to back Wolves and him specifically to find the net more than once against a Canary side who haven't registered a home win in their last four home games, conceding at least two in each of those.
Lots of bets then for you to get stuck into on Number Crunchers this week. We're looking at the televised games on Sunday now, starting with Watford versus Manchester United at Vicarage Road. It's 2 o'clock kickoff, this one. Watford are 17-5 to win the game. They draw 29-10. Manchester United 78-100. Want to start with a stat which makes pretty grim reading for Watford supporters. They've only picked up 9 points in their first 17 Premier League matches this season. Each of the previous 9 occasions, a team has won fewer than 10 points in their opening 17 games. They've been relegated. So it looks like an impossible task for Watford to escape relegation this season. But I think they've got a chance in this one. I said it last weekend with Manchester United. They look good when they're underdogs and are not expected to dominate possession. Last week, they came unstuck against Everton. They were well backed in that game. I think they went off about 4-6.
Yeah.
And I expect them to be supported here. I think Watford, even though they've not had that, didn't get that new manager bounce under Kike Sanchez Flores, they've not had it yet under Nigel Pearson, but there were signs last week, I thought, against Liverpool.
I was quite impressed with them, actually, at Anfield. They caused problems, and but for some pretty horrendous finishing, they could have nicked something there.
That's been the problem all season. They can't finish.
It has. Troy Deeney coming back in as a focal point at least gives them something to work around. They do have lively enough players, and I don't think they're completely doomed, you know.
Really?
There's worse teams than Watford in the Premier League this season.
Name one.
Norwich. Would you like another one?
That's
Southampton.
Bold. Oh, yeah, I agree with you with Southampton.
But the damage may already be done. Between now and the end of the year, Watford may not be bad enough to go down, but we're nearly halfway through the season.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they have already been... Well, how many points have they got? Nine.
Teams don't escape from this situation.
They shouldn't. They're going to have to be at their very, very best. And like you said, scoring goals have been a problem. Just 4 at home all season. Now, Man United go through stages where everything seems rosy. They might win 2 in a row, maybe sometimes 3. And then it sort of just collapses and they'll have one shocking away performance. It's happened this season at St James's Park. It's happened when they went to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
2-1-0 defeats, but they have been fairly soundly beaten in both games. Could that happen here? It could. The Pearson fact is an interesting one. I'd play cards here. I think that's a fairly strong fancy. Lee Mason's in charge, who's different, shall we say. There's some games where he just goes off on one, and there's some games where he's fairly reserved and lets everything go.
Yeah.
But I'd imagine that there will be a few tackles going in here. I'd play cards as a fairly strong fancy in the game, so I was on the bookings points.
That's 6-4, by the way, over 45 booking points in the match. And if you fancy nice over bet. 6 cards, if you want to go crazy here, that's available at 11-2.
Yeah, I think it could be quite niggly, to be honest. This
okay.
Game. In terms of the outright betting, I'd say it's priced up about right. Man U are rightfully favourites and probably deserve to be a little bit of odds on. But then as I say that, I think, do I really want to touch that? So it's a really difficult one. Of all of the games that we're previewing this week, this is the one that I ummed and ahed about the most. It is tricky.
Tough game then. Watford taking on Manchester United. I don't fancy either side, really, if I'm honest. I think the draw's a good bet in this one.
I've thought about it for a while and I really struggled to come down on either side with any confidence.
Okay.
Marcus Rashford has been in good nick recently, though. He may be the way in here. Penalties could be a way in as well. We've seen 3 in 5 in Man U games and 3 in 7 in Watford games. So for a penalty in the game, that could be worth a look. And if you're backing that, Marcus Rashford again taking penalties for Man U could be the way to go. I'm going to go for a correct score. I'm going to go Man U to edge this 1-0. Watford only 4 home goals all season. They need to change that and do it fast. I'm not certain it'll happen here, though. I'll go 1-0 to United. And if we're going ultra-specific, it'll be Rashford who bags it as well. Maybe even from the spot, who knows?
There you go, scorecast for you. Rashford to score and Manchester United to win 1-0 in the game at Vicarage Road.
There's so much footy to bet on over the festive season. So if you're putting on an Acca, remember to use your Bet Boost. Just put your picks in your bet slip. If there are 3 or more, you'll be able to tap the boost button and watch the odds get bigger. Best of luck.
Finish off the weekend with a big game at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. Spurs taking on Chelsea. Looking forward to this one. Spurs are available at 7-5. The draw 13-5. Chelsea in the betting at 9-5. Don't forget, you can build a Your Odds bet on the William Hill website and on the app as well. If you fancy a match result and both teams to score bet, Spurs are 14-5 in that market. The draw 29-10 and Chelsea 7-2. And a month to 6 weeks ago, these prices would be the other way around, wouldn't they, really?
Mm.
But Chelsea... Has their demise been overplayed? They're not playing well under Frank Lampard, but they did beat Lille in the Champions League at the start of the month. They beat Villa, but it's not been smooth sailing for Lampard recently?
No, it hasn't. I think demise is a strong word. I think they are now performing as they were expected to at the start of the season. I think they overachieved early, if anything.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. They've now lost four of the last five in the league. That's a bit of a worrying statistic, particularly when they've got a game like this coming up. But they've had difficult games in that period as well. So if I was a Chelsea fan, I wouldn't be too concerned. They're still doing okay. They're doing fine. The issue is that Spurs have gone from underachieving to all of a sudden looking almost back to the best.
Yeah, and it's because of a couple of key individuals, including Heung-Min Son, who's been fantastic recently. And Mourinho, this is a good stat. He's won 12 of his 13 home games against sides he's previously managed. So he gets his teams up for these types of tests, Jose Mourinho. And Heung-Min Son is just... he's just wonderful to watch, isn't he? He's one of my favourite players in the Premier League.
I was a little concerned when Mourinho came in as to who his favoured players would be. Now, as it happens, Christian Eriksen is the one who's missed out. Now, obviously, he's got contract issues as well.
Yep.
That may be factored into that. But I'm pleased to see Son as the main guy. Well, between him, Dele Alli and Harry Kane, you've got to... when they're all firing, that's a pretty formidable trio.
And when Mourinho came in, we spoke about his influence on number 10s at previous clubs on this show, and it's worked out with Dele Alli.
Completely. Interesting, he's won 12 of his 13 home games. They were pretty dismal at Man U. That's been the only sort of damp squib of the Mourinho era at Spurs so far.
Yeah.
So I can forgive one bad performance. I do think Spurs will win this, though. Son could well be involved as well. You'd probably want to play goals, though, to be honest with you, because Spurs have been scoring for fun at home, haven't they?
Yeah, both teams are scoring the match. Yes is 1-2, no is available at 6-4. So
you can see why.
Yeah, punters have cottoned onto that. Yeah. Yes being as short as 1-2. I'm looking at the main man for Spurs, as far as I'm concerned at the moment, Heung-Min Son, to score in this game. I think he'll score. I think he's a fine price to score any time in the match.
I think he is, and I'd actually factor in Son to score in a Spurs win as well if you were going down that route. That's something I considered. I looked at Spurs and both teams to score as well, because Spurs have scored loads at home under Mourinho.
Yeah.
Chelsea, in their away games this season in the Premier League, 37 goals combined in just 8 games. Absolutely phenomenal amount of goals in Chelsea away games. But when it comes down to it, I think Spurs win. Chelsea have lost 4 of 5 in the Premier League. I think it'll be 5 of 6. Spurs, a pretty confident pick for me. I think it will be high scoring, but Spurs, at the price that they are, as an outright pick, just makes sense.
Very good. Spurs the bet. I'm going with Heung-Min Son to score any time in the match as well. Now it's time for the best bets from the Football League chaps this weekend.
This week's Championship nap is an absolute corker, I think. It's Reading at 21-20. Derby haven't scored in their last 5 away games, have won just once on their travels, and are in absolutely dreadful form. Only one win since the start of November. And yeah, okay, Reading, when I napped them a couple of weeks ago, lost 3-2 to Birmingham, but they played okay in that game. And for me, I think they're really, really good value at odds against to defeat a side who don't look good away from home and don't look good generally. Reading 21-20, my nap of the week.
Keeping it simple again in League One, my nap is a side at home, winning plenty, scoring plenty. Step forward, Blackpool at 11-10 at home to Shrewsbury. Blackpool could go joint second if results go their way. They've scored 9 goals in 3 home games, 5 in their last 2, which is the same amount of goals Shrewsbury have scored away from home all season. 9 away games for Shrewsbury, failed to score in 6 of them. Nandwale has scored in 3 consecutive games for Blackpool. Look at him to score any time. But Blackpool, 11-10, my nap.
Swindon have been a great cash cow in recent weeks. Their price now, though, realistically too short. So I'm turning instead to Northampton Town, 9-5 at Mansfield. Northampton have only dropped points twice in the last 2 months. And Mansfield's only 3 results since October come with massive asterisks. A draw at Crewe, despite 30% possession. A win at a Walsall side on a 6-match losing streak. A goalless draw at a Macclesfield side, who may not exist come the end of the season. They've lost every other meaningful game in November and December. You can add this one to the pile, I think. Northampton Town, 9-5.
Time for the naps then. You've just heard from the Football League guys, with Al going Northampton, Reading for Pete, and Gav, only winner last week, Gav, goes with Blackpool to win. Still 4 of us in profit. You've moved into,
slipped into
the minus column. No good.
Well.
Are you going to pick it up before? I want you to end the year in profit.
Thanks, Dave. I don't want you to end the year in profit. I I'm with Spurs.
Yeah.
To be fair, that was quite straightforward for me this week. I didn't have anything else to go on, really. It wasn't anything else I was too strong on. And they seem a fairly decent price at home to Chelsea. It should be a really good game, that one. But I'm hoping for plenty of goals and plenty of home goals. Fingers crossed.
We're just skirting over Derek's pick every single week now, aren't we?
I'm quite glad he's gone against Newcastle. Yeah. Right? Works for me.
I'm going with Aston Villa to win at home against Southampton at Villa Park. I just think these prices are wrong, basically.
What price are they?
They are 27 to 20. It's priced up as if Southampton are the better of the two sides by quite a considerable margin. And they're not, basically.
I had the exact same thought process behind Napping Palace last week against Brighton.
Yeah.
It didn't work out.
But Brighton are a lot better than Southampton, though, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So Brighton are a great football inside, by the way. I've got to say, just going back to that game on Monday night, really great to watch. They don't always get places.
Graham Potter's done an amazing job, hasn't he?
Just in terms of keeping the ball, they're fantastic. Because teams are knackered by the time they get the ball off them.
Well, Zaha said afterwards that it was the case that they just couldn't get possession in the match.
Yeah. Well, he'll certainly have a fair bit of the weekend, I'd have thought. Goodness me. No, I can't put you off, Villa. I think that's a sound nap. Mm.
Okay, Aston Villa to win for me at 27 to 20. Check out all the markets on the William Hill website at williamhill.com and on the app. Thank you, Alex, for your company. A little bit different over Christmas as well. We've got a mini punt coming to you for Boxing Day. There is, as you mentioned earlier on, just like a game every single day, isn't there, in the Premier League?
Oh, it's great. I mean, we'll be here punting when we can.
Yes.
But also pigs in blankets. So, I mean, what would you rather do?
Thank you, everyone, for watching this edition of The Punt. Check out all those markets on the website and on the app. And we'll be back in the not-too-distant future.
Happy Christmas, everybody.
Yeah, happy Christmas.
Goodness me, Dave. Where are your manners?
And if you're having a bet, good luck.